Simple messages are ones that are forgotten about. You probably have heard messages on this subject a lot of times. But the problem is we have a tendency to walk away from those messages. We have a tendency to let those things go by the wayside. And so, God, I was just sitting there thinking this morning. I knew yesterday that I was preaching today. Isn't that something? For 2 days, I've been saying, God, I have nothing. I have no clue what to preach, Lord. What would you have me to preach? God, what would you have me to get up there and say to the people? What would you have me to say to Black Creek Baptist Church? Because I have no clue what to say up there. And I prayed and today and I had to go for testing. I'm having some, and pray for me on physical issues. I'm having physical issues. Amy is too. And that's just all a ploy. It's just all about what happens when you get out there and start doing the work. The devil hates it and your body gets run down.
Amen.
That's what happens. You get out there and you preach all the time. You hear Tim McVeigh constantly with his voice and so on. It's a thorn in the side and those things that go on like that. What happens? Those things go on. So you pray for people as we travel. But I have a simple, basic message with a great spiritual challenge. I'm going to challenge you from the Word of God. I'm not going to challenge you with what I think or what I can come up with. If we can't go into church, Brother Cook, and we can't spiritually challenge people, then what good do we do? If you can't leave out of here with something different than when you came in here, then we have failed as preachers. There should always be, when this King James Bible is open, that God will give somebody something. There is something to think about. There's something we can work on in our lives. This is the Bible we're talking about. This is God's holy word. This is in the self-help book. And so if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I was sitting there contemplating this morning on what I should preach, and God gave me this message, and I said, no, Lord, I'm not settled with that message. Who am I to be settled on a message? I learned that lesson real quick. It don't matter if I'm settled on it, because God kept bringing me back to it, and I said, okay. And so finally about dinner time, I said, Lord, you got it. This is what we're going to preach. And so Matthew chapter 5, and look what it says here in verse 43 and 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44. And it says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But, that but in the King James Bible means something that's very important. You got to pay attention to what comes after that. Because most of the time it's a challenge when it comes after that. Because God is going to spiritually challenge where you stand. He says this, but I say. This is a command from God. He says, but I say, love your enemies. Sounds pretty simple. But do we really do it? Why aren't there more lost people sitting in these pews then? Why aren't that one down there at Giant and McDonald's and everywhere else? How come they're not sitting in the house of God today? How about those ones that we're working with out there? Those ones you go sit in that office with. How come they're not sitting in the house of God today? Do we really go out there and love our enemies? What about those ones who cuss us, Ronnie? What about those ones who hate the King James Bible even though they say they tote one underneath their arm? Oh, I face them out there. Trust me, we face a plethora of people out there. Many, many, many people who call themselves Bible-believing Christians who are actually your enemy. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. But you know what Jesus Christ said to me? He says, you're supposed to love them.
Come on.
How are they supposed to see the truth any other way? If we continue to repel them, how are they ever going to see the truth? Are we supposed to just pick and choose who we preach to? That's our attitude today. Let's just pick and choose it. Let them die and go to hell with their belief. We'll just keep on moving. Jesus Christ said, love your enemies. Those are the ones even against the Bible. I know there's one man, I talked to Amy about it. Pastor John knows how to love his enemies. You wanna go ahead and look at somebody who knows how to do that? You go ahead and look at a man who loves his enemies, and he can invite them in this church. He can have them here. He can have them sitting at his table, and he knows that they stand everything against him. He knows that they're out there talking against him. He knows that they're out there cursing him. But yet, because Jesus Christ said, love your enemies, he does that. Shouldn't we be doing that? This was not a command just for John Asquith. It's a command for Black Creek Baptist Church. It's a command for every person who says they're a Bible believer who has enemies out there. I can tell you this right now. Every one of us have somebody that came to mind when I said, love your enemies. That's the one God wants you to love. You hear crickets?
Uh-huh.
Boy, it's awful quiet in here when you start hitting on a simple message. Somebody in here is struggling with it. God didn't give it to me for no reason. This wasn't a message I picked. Sounds simple, but do we really do it? Does God give us an excuse not to love our enemies? Show me once in our Bible where he says you have an excuse not to love them. If that's the case, then he's telling us to do something that he himself wouldn't do. And that's not the truth. He loved his enemies. Those of us who are saved here today were once his enemies. We are no longer his enemies. Now he said, I want you to go out there and I want you to love your enemies. We're willing to do so as long as I do it on our terms, but the Bible doesn't say this. So how do we love our enemies? Look at verse 44. Jesus goes on to say, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. That very one that is telling you how much he can't stand you, how much they hate your guts. I mean, how much they want to throw stuff in your face and try to get you to do every wicked thing on this earth. He says, don't curse them, but bless them. How? Hey, I'm praying for you. Oh, I see something going on today. You need to talk about anything? You bless them with Jesus Christ inside of you. Let them know how much you care for them. Let them know how much you... Hey, if you hear that they got a need, drop them $5 or $10. You never notice that sometimes when it comes to helping somebody out with money, we pull our hand back. When Jesus Christ is already... He was always ready to give. Sometimes that may just be the answer to open the door. I've watched two boys in this church, Zane Montgomery and Luke Morey, go through this. I mean heavy. Heavy. But I'm going to tell you now, it's paying off. And it may pay off in eternity. It may pay off that one day, those kids, those people that done those things to Zane and Luke, will look back and say, man, that was a Christian. Man, maybe I can look him up one day. And let's see what he's doing. And they'll look Luke up and Luke and say, hey, man, you're having trouble. Why don't you come to Black Creek? Why don't you come here to the Bible? We can sit down and we can work this thing out. And wouldn't it be something if that person came in this church, Tim? You see, we have a hard time believing that can ever happen here. Well, what kind of God do you serve? You mean it can't happen? Oh, it can happen. That man can walk in the church and sit right here behind Miss Samantha, sit here and hear the gospel preached, and he can get saved. Why? Because the word of God, not about us, it's not about anything else. But that, you know what happened? They seen Jesus Christ in Luke and Zane. They seen two Christian boys who refused to have somebody put pornography in their face and keep it there and say, look, faggot. Look. That's what they do. Over and over and over and over and over. And you know what Luke does? He gets up in the morning, Stephen. He reads his Bible and he prays for those people. Amen. How many of you are doing that for your enemy? How many if, listen, how many if they came up in your face, would you do that? How many enemies have you ran into in the last week that you say, you know what, maybe I need to pray for them. It says, bless them. That curse you. And it goes on and saying, he says, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. Show me where there's an excuse why we should not be doing this. If there's somebody out there hating you, remember this. They're not hating you. They're hating the Jesus Christ inside of you. But just maybe, Stephen, just maybe, inside they're screaming for what you have. And if you falter and fail, they'll never come to Jesus Christ, ever. Tanya, I remember watching that woman back there come to this church. And I would abuse her terribly with my mouth when she'd come back. Well, you know, Pastor John said, I don't care what Pastor John said. Oh, what are you, a holy roller now? You're a Bible thumper? But you know what I was doing inside? I was screaming for what she was getting. I was screaming inside for what she had. Why? Because I wanted out. How do you know your enemy is not doing that to you? I forgot you're God. My bad. You can read. You know exactly what's going on in their head and their heart. Hey, you know what? And some of them may just be your enemy. Some of them might just be. They may never come to know Christ. They may never. But it doesn't tell you that just in case, don't do that to them. No. No, he doesn't say that. He says, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why would I do this to my enemy? Look at verse 45. Look at verse 45, Christian. It says, do this to your enemy. Why? That you may be the what? Children of your Father. You need to be known as a child of God. And the only way that you're going to be known as a child of God is to live differently towards your enemies. But who wants to do that? In our pride. Oh, look at who I am. I don't have to put up with that nonsense. I don't have to put up with that. Boy, if you could just get on some of my JPays and things and see what those guys say to me. Thank God. Thank God I don't have that little wimpy, you know, prideful mentality that would keep me away from my enemies. You ought to hear some of the stuff they say to me. But you know what, Brother Neil? God has given me a heart for them people, no matter what they say. You know why? Because I look at where they're at, and I remember I was there. Mm-hmm. Why don't you look at your enemies and remember where you were,
right,
where God saved you from? You know what? You may not, when I'm going to live as a criminal and so on, but thank God he spared you from it and not out of it. But it says to love your enemies. Why? Because you're going to sow yourself a child of the Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Outside of this is just the beginning. Look at what it says here. It's that you may be the children of your Father. Is that not a good enough reason to go out there and love your enemies? Because you'll be known as a child of God. Oh, wait. It's easy to be a child of God when you're in church or around church people. But how easy is it out there in the public? How easy is it out there in the workplace? How easy is it out there when they're out there cracking jokes and saying things and doing whatever? How easy is it for you to be the child of God then? How do you want to be recognized as a Christian then? Oh, your enemies, you know why they laugh and make fun of you? Because they know you're a falter. They know you're not standing on anything. You're building on the sand. Not building on that rock, Jesus Christ. Hey, this ain't it's something easy. This takes a willpower. It takes a determination in your heart to be able to live this. But if you're a child of God, there is no excuse. None. I used to have enemies in the prison system. And those enemies did things to children. Man, I hated them. Hated them. Everything that I could hate them with. You know, God had to change my heart on that. They're not my enemies anymore. You know why? You know what I realized? Calvary is level playing grounds.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I don't agree with what they've done, Miss Ruth Ann. I don't. It's terrible. But you ask, let me show you. Show me once in the Bible where God puts a level on sin. Show me. That's how God dealt with me on that. He said, you show me where your sins were any better than theirs.
Yeah, thank God.
Love your enemies. Pray for them. That spitefully use you. And it's a constant circle that goes on in there. Why? Because they're only living like they know. They only live what they know. But thank God, God has given me wisdom to be able to discern that. And you know what else he's given me? A love for them. A love for them where 99% of the people in here would have no love for them whatsoever. None. Write them off and throw away the key. Sorry, don't do it. Well, I want them to know that I'm a child of the Most High. I want them to know that I'm a child of the King. I want them to know that I'm a child of God and they can have this. And they can stand one day on the right hand of God and they can stand there and cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ. But not only that, Charity, it gets good. You know why? Because they can have a life here on earth. Stephen, our eternity already began, buddy. We get to bring others with us if we put ourselves out there. Kyle, here's the problem. We're willing until that point we draw a line in the sand and say, God, don't bring me any farther than this.
Come on.
You ever hear, I'm willing, God, I'm willing. At the very moment, God puts his finger on something. They go, oh, hey, that's a little far, God. That's a little too much there. Oh, that's a, this whole thing's going a little far.
Come on.
Well, we may be known as the children of our Father. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Look at it. It says, and blessed are ye when men might revile you. Wait, we have a King James Bible here, so let's use the proper terms. When men should revile you, but when they shall. Now, look, at, if you're a Christian, you're out there living as a Christian, you're out there living the way this Bible says, they will revile you. They're going to come at you. And it says, here it says, when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let me make something clear here. There's a difference between suffering for yourself and suffering for Jesus. Many people suffer for themselves, Tim. Why? Because they don't live this. You know how you're going to suffer for Christ? Living this. Go out there and love your enemies, for surely you'll suffer for Christ's sake. You go out there and love the unlovable, for sure you'll suffer for Christ's sake. You go out there and live that straight and narrow. You know what it says? They'll think you're funny because you don't run with them. You don't do the same things they do. Can they say that about you at work? Can they say that about you where you're at? Can they say that about you out in public that you don't do those things that you do? Or used to do, you don't do those things that they've done. And then you stand up and say, hey, I don't hate people, Tracks. Not against it. You do that? Good. I'm glad you do. Here's what I do. I start a conversation like this. How can I pray for you today?
Amen.
Good conversation starter, ain't it? Been points where my wife has been able to get up and hug those women. We've been able to find out people's issues, their problems, leave them tips, whatever it is. Why? All we're going out there is letting people know that we're children of God. We care about them.
Amen.
We care about their soul. We had on the road, we were up in Maine. I think it was in Maine. Up in Maine. The waitress came over. Well, she couldn't have gotten anything more wrong, Pastor. She couldn't have messed anything up anymore. And my family knows we don't say nothing. We are not saying a word. You do not. You say a word, I'm going to get up across this table and we're going to have issues. And if you ever come to dinner with me and something's messed up, please don't say a word because I will be angry with you. Just let you know that now. Don't say a word. Why? Because you don't know what's going on in that person's life. You have no clue what's going on. I thank God that you taught me that one day. And I adhere to that. My family adheres to that. And man, she messed it up, Tim. Messed it up to no end. And we just looked at her. She came home. She was sorrowful. You could just see there was something heavy on her heart. And Amy got to talk to her. Amy got to give her a little hug. And just let her know that how much we care about her. And how grateful we are for what she's doing. What kind of impact do you think that made on her life that day? And then we left her a giant tip. Big old tip. Why? Because we want people to see Jesus Christ, man. Isn't this what it's all about?
Yes. Come on.
Is that what we really live? Is that what we think we really live? Is that what we, in our pride, is that really what we think that we're portraying out there? Because when you come in and preach a message on loving your enemies, man, it gets awfully quiet. Because I know there's enemies. There's even enemies in this room once amongst another. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go there, brother. But I know it's there. And let me tell you something right now. You are going against the direct commandment of Jesus Christ. How does that bother you? It's still quiet. Look at what he says in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know why people don't live a life here? They're looking for a reward here. You may not get an reward here. Hey, let me just tell you this. I know one thing. Pastor John said, Dale, you know, our job. Us going out and doing ministry. We're not getting a reward. I don't get rewarded for going out and doing what I'm doing. We pay a price as a family. I just wanted you to know it's not all hunky-dory being out there on the road. It's not all fun and games. It's a spiritual battle that's going on out there. But we're willing to give it up. I'm willing to leave my son behind. That may not mean nothing to you that I have to leave my son behind. But it means something to me. And then have to watch him go through what he goes through. And then to watch my wife go through what she goes through with her physical well elements and mine as well. What do you think? It's just all fun and games being out there in the ministry? There's souls on the line, Stephen. Souls on the line. But let me tell you something. My reward is not here. If I had my mind affixing on the reward here, what would it be worth? It'd be the same as a welfare system. Jesus ain't giving me a welfare system. I got something a whole lot better than the welfare system.
Amen.
He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look at here. It says here. I'm showing you some steps of what should we do to love our enemies. What does that look like? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 and 25. Look at what it says. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, If is another big word in our Bible. Because maybe you will, maybe you won't. He says, if any man will, that's your will, come after me, let him deny himself. You cannot love your enemies without denying yourself. You cannot deny your enemies without putting yourself in second place. You cannot love your enemies. You cannot go out there and tell people that you're going to pray for them and so on and so forth if you're still in that position in first place. It says, if any man will come after me. You notice John Mark didn't say before me. Didn't say walk next to me. It said follow me. Too many people are trying to get ahead of Jesus Christ. Too many people think it's okay to walk side by side with Jesus Christ. It's not what he said. He said to follow me. Why? Because his way is different than your way. He's got a different way. He thinks differently than we do, Josh. Oh man, you're going to run into some wonderful enemies at work. If you already have it, hey, you see what that Bible says to do? Go in there and find those steps of what that Bible tells you to do with your enemies. Otherwise, you'll never have victory over them. You know what's going to happen? They'll have victory over you every single time. I always used to tell my kids this. You want to take away them shooting things at you? Then take away their ammo. Every time you react, that gives them more and more and more and more ammo. Every single time. Take the ammo from them. They have nothing. When they react, they have nothing. You know what happens? They start breaking down, Stephen. You know what that does? It opens up conversations. The problem is today we're not worried about a conversation with somebody out there lost. We don't care because they're our enemy. They're against everything that we are. Weren't we that? Weren't we that for Jesus Christ? Now he's telling us to go out there and love those same people. Ronnie, all the men and women that we work with, they're enemies of Jesus Christ. Right now as we sit, there are very few people in jail and prison that are probably saved today. And most of them are enemies and don't even realize it. Who's going to tell them that if I keep running from them? Who? That's the thing. That's just, we just won't tell them. We'll go ahead and lead them to their self and we'll worry about these over here. That's the attitude today. Thank God. I thank God. That God puts me in churches of my enemies. You know why? Because I'm not afraid to preach to them. I'm not afraid to go out there and say what I have to say. You go, oh man, you talk tough. No, I pay a price for that terribly spiritually. I pay a terrible price. My family pays a price for it. But you know what? If I'm not going to do it, who is? You? Who in this room is ready to go and do it? I'll bring you with me. Sacrifice it. Give it up. Be done with it. God told me and my wife, be done with work and get out there on the road. We're out there on the road. We're out there whatever door he opens up, there we go. And 90% of the time, we are in the enemy's home. We're in their home. We're in there with people who say they're King James, Bible believing, fundamental, blah, 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 blah. And they hate everything about what we stand for. So if I'm not going to go out there and tell them, who is? Who? It's nice to stay cozy right here, isn't it, Stephen? We feel safe here. But their souls sitting in church pews. Do you know how many people are going to go to hell from a church pew tonight? You ever thought about that? You know what? That tears my heart out, Stephen. To think that somebody's going to go to hell tonight from a church pew. Because nobody stood up to warn them. You want to know a way to love your enemies? Get out there, man, with them. Get out there and work with them. Get out there and pray. Get out there and talk. Start conversations with them. Stop being afraid. I challenged some people that in the last church I was in. I said, why don't you do this? This is a challenge for me. The next time we see a big old burly biker with Hell's Angels or whatever on the back of his bike, who's going to go willing to tell that man about Jesus? Who? Let me see a raise of hand, somebody who's brave enough to do it in here. Jesus has said to love our enemy. He for sure would be our enemy. But there ain't one of us, including myself, brave enough to go do it. Why? Because we believe in ourselves. We believe in ourselves, not our God. Now, thank God there are some bikers out there that have been saved. Spurgeon.
Yeah.
Bad Bob. Nagowski. Somebody had to go up to him and tell him. They're our enemies. Why aren't we telling them? We have a hard time doing it to the clerk at the store. And she may not even be our enemy. You ever pray, God, give me a burden for soul. God, would you show me that these people are going to literally die and go to hell? Does that ever keep you up at night that somebody might die and go to hell? Does that shake you at night at all? Anybody? I know for the last couple months, God has not allowed me to sleep. You ask my wife. I've been shook to the core. Why? Because I'm thinking about people dying and going to hell, Stephen. It's not about how good of a message I can preach. I don't care about it. I'm not worried about how well I sound or how rounded I am in my speech. And so, you know what I'm worried about? Somebody dying and going to hell. I'm worried about those ones that are teetering on the edge of hell tonight. And these last times, they're teetering on the edge of hell, and yet we're so comfortable in our church that we won't go out there to our enemies and tell them about Christ so that they might not die and go to hell. And Jeff, when's the last time you thank God that somebody came your way and told you about Jesus? Do you remember the person who started sharing that gospel with you? Do you? You ought to thank God they did. Now, why don't you be that? Why don't you be that? Why don't you go out there and share with them? I'm almost done. You'll get me out of here in a minute. But I came to spiritually challenge. I didn't come here to fluff you up and make you feel good, man. It's not what I do. I go to other churches. I do the same thing. Why? Because I want to spiritually challenge us in these days to go out there and care and concern about souls. Dying to go to hell because every one of us have family members in here that are lost, friends, co-workers or whatever else, they're going to die. And we know they're going to bust hell wide open. Let me ask you this. How many of you, since you've heard my podcast and heard me teach on fasting, have fasted for your lost loved ones? How many?
Come on.
I know some of you have. And thank God for it. But that just goes to show you the seriousness of what we think about. We're not. So what would make me think that you would go out there and love your enemies? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life and shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Look at Judges chapter 5, verse 2. You don't have to turn. It says, praise ye the Lord. Why are they praising God? It says, for the avenging of Israel. When? When the people willingly offered themselves. You got something that needs to be avenged in your life. You want God to go ahead and take vengeance on your side. You know what it says? Then you need to willingly offer yourself to do things his way. Oh, man. Wow. That's hard. When you say, God, I'm willing to go to my enemy. Oh, man, I could just share the last 2 days. I wish I could just share the last 2 days. I can't do it. But I wish I could share the last 2 mornings of my prayer time with God and the things he showed me on something that I thought that I had settled. And, man, he keeps unraveling and unraveling. I go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Lord. I've never even seen that I was doing that. How far are you willing to go?
Come on.
How far? God, it's not a game. This is not This is not a lifestyle. If this is a lifestyle for you, you got the wrong lifestyle. You're going to end up in the wrong place. You're going to think you're going somewhere and you're not.
Amen.
It's not a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a changed life. It's a serious matter. So Matthew, you know, it's so serious that... Oh, but you know what gets people going in churches, Steve, when I say, man, Jesus Christ, soul went to hell. Oh, man, it tears them up. I go, if he didn't go to hell, he'd still be lost and going there.
Right.
His soul was made an offering for sin. If it's that serious to him, why isn't it that serious to us? Do you know that people that are in hell tonight are paying a price for something that was already paid by Jesus? They're paying a double price. People who will go to hell, people that are going to die and go to hell tonight are going to go and pay a price for something that's already been paid for. How much do we care? Our life, our ministries, our jobs, whatever else, we become so involved in all of that that we forget the reality of what this Christian life was supposed to be. Not my purpose, but yours. Not mine, Lord, but yours.
Amen.
Can we still have fun and enjoy life? Oh, you better believe we play miniature golf. We have fun as a family. There's a balance to that. But I think we're having too much fun and not enough seriousness today. It ought to be the other way around. 5 more minutes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 and 48 says this: For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans or the religious crowd, do not they also do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, he said, don't just go and say hi to those who say hi back to you. Go up to somebody and say hi to them, even if they don't say hi to you. Go up and salute them and say, sir, who goes and thanks our military for the service, for what they've done? Who walks across a parking lot? Who does that? Anybody in here? I do. I taught my children to go and do it.
Yeah, good.
You go salute them. I don't care what you think of our military today. Those men fought. They gave their life. You go and salute them and you tell them, hey, man, our family is praying for you.
Good stuff.
That makes a big difference in a man's life. He walks around, you know what they say? I've never had to. We had a man almost chase us down. He could barely walk. I mean, he's a mom. I mean, he said, hey. I said, yes, sir. He said, I've never had anybody say that to me. So I know how much that meant to me. You can't beat that. You can't beat having something like that, John Mark. It was worth every second of that. What was it showing, Tim? It was showing a Christian. A family who respects the man for putting his life on the line, regardless of what we believe about the politics about it. Politics isn't going to save those men and women who are dying over there. We have military men and women, regardless of what you think about the military right now, and I don't agree with it, but they're dying. You know why they're dying? For you to have what you have right now. Who's telling them about Jesus? Let me tell you about the chaplains that go over there. You want me to tell you about the chaplains that are over there? Them chaplains could care less about that person's soul.
That's right.
Psalm 35, and I'm going to close with this. I'm not going to read all of it. Psalm chapter 35, and I want you to see David here in Psalm chapter 35. His enemies are railing on him, and they're after him, you know, David's on the run. And so I want you to see here in Psalm chapter 35, and we're going to go and look at verse 12. Psalm 35, verse 12, and this is what David said. He says, and they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Verse 13, he's talking about his enemies there. And in verse 13, he says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting And my prayer returned to my own bosom. He said, when my enemies became sick, when things went wrong with them, because I started fasting and I started praying for them because I wanted them to be healed. I wanted God to get in their life, and they're my enemies. They're out to kill me. Who has someone in here trying to kill you tonight?
But David shows us an example of a man who has people trying to kill him, his enemies, and yet he fasted and prayed for them. Why? Because he was concerned about their soul.
Look what it goes on here and says here. Verse 14, I behaved myself as though they had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. David's doing that for his enemies.
Come on.
David is mourning for his enemies as if he would have lost his mother. Why? Because that's the care and concern that he had. How many of us have that care and concern for our enemies? For those, it may be a family member who within our family there are enemies, and man, they're rising up against us. But let me just say this, how willing are we, how far are we willing to go with this thing? I know this, and I'm going to say this as I close. The Lord made it clear to me that my mother will never get saved as long as I continue to act the way I act towards her, as my enemy. I treat my mother as my enemy. And God's had to pull that card on me more than one time. Something I thought I had settled, but God revealed my heart and said, it's not settled. Your mom may be your enemy, but you'll love her like I loved you.
Well,
how about it? How about it? How far are you willing to go with this thing? Does it matter? You know what most people do? The hell with her. The hell with her. That's what they say. You know what I say? God help me so that I can stand next to Jesus Christ on one side and my mother on the other. Wow, how wonderful would that be? To stand in heaven one day and see my mother saved. You guys pray on that. You pray as God continues to work. But how about it, my friend? The simple challenge is this. Love your enemies as Christ so loved us. Pass it on down.
Amen. I like it.